Yes, I found it very moving to be just sitting here on the ground with these ancient rocks. What was it? I can't remember how many millions of years. We don't know. Million years. Yeah, I doubt if we'd even have time to have a flicker of a neuron synapse connection about thinking about yawning before. Probably us and half our remembered ancestors weren't there anymore. It sort of puts into perspective all the sort of stresses and struggles of our lives, doesn't it? Well, it did for me anyway. Yeah, and then what's important? What's important sort of in this moment? Given that in a way now is all I can know in relation to that, you know. That's all we have, really. Anyway, where were we? beings as reference. Beings as reference. So we've been looking at how to bring ourselves into connection. Giving ourselves that spaciousness, that inner spaciousness, that freedom to experience. Giving ourselves the stable support of the earth. So that we can really feel what it is we're feeling. We can sit quietly close alongside not pushing or pulling. Wanting it to be different. Just lightly, gently, with a light touch, connecting with the iron. And I don't know if you've seen this, when we do that, it's like what we connect with, we automatically, as it were, care for. We naturally care for. There's a response. Yeah? So if I stub my toe, I don't have to think, you know, should I look after that? Yeah. My toe's part of me, I look after it if I stub it, you know. it's just a natural response. You know, I feel connected to my toe, so I respond. Yeah. So we can have this sense of just really noticing noticing what it is that we, where those little responses come, those little, just very tiny, you know. I think we've all noticed it as we go outside, you know, just the feeling of the sunlight on the skin, the air on the skin is a sort of, is an opening, and there's a response. And it's almost like you almost do love the sunshine or love the nature. So it's partly about sort of just not closing off to what we're connected with, because you know, as we were seeing last night, we are part of the earth. We're completely connected with the earth, yeah. But we cut off from that, yeah. And it's that cutting off itself that's painful. Yeah? We've seen that we're not free when we close down, when we refuse things, and that that metta is the opposite of that. Yeah, metta is bringing the softness to that lack of connection, that refusal. Yeah, wherever there's a sense of closing, the metta is being prepared to bring the freedom to that, which doesn't mean dragging it out into the light and forcing a connection at all. You know, mostly it's just allowing all those things that we want, you know, that sense of freedom and release, you know, that spaciousness to breathe, yeah, all of those ignored, refused places, just, you know, that spaciousness to breathe, yeah, that preparedness for them to be given all the time. Just think again of the rocks, all the time and the space in the world that they need. Are we prepared to sit for as long as those rocks have sat? Yeah? No? But it's a quality of mind, isn't it? It's a quality of mind. So yeah, we won't come and dig you out. But there's that preparedness, yeah, to give something all the time, yeah, all the space it needs. And it's, you know, this is another quality of metta. It's not wanting anything out of that. It's taking that wanting of the reciprocity of what I'm going to get from this out of that. Yeah. Does that make sense? It's just, okay, it can just be. Yeah. Really, really, really taking that sense of what I'm going to get from this out of the situation. It takes practice, but it can, because it's not because it's a quality of mind I'm talking about, it doesn't, you know, it can actually just happen. If we get the right quality, it happens, it's there and then, it's right now. You know, it doesn't, you know, this sense of projecting ourselves into the future, is that all of that falls away. Yeah. Does that make sense? Just in a way, just nourish that quality of mind. It is a bit of a leap of faith, yeah? Just sitting like the rocks. Yes, please do.
My sort of understanding of metta, or my practice of metta, has been about cultivating.
Yes.
And growing.
Yes.
You're talking about something that's very sort of immediate, an immediate response to whatever is going on, which is a not refusing.
Yes.
So that's different.
It's different and it's the same. So, I mean, that the next bit I was going to come back to is the heart wish, which is, can you see that there's a movement in the heart wish? There's an energy, there's a sort of engagement in a way. That's the response side, yeah? So that's the... You could call it cultivation. It's certainly not passive.
It has an immediacy.
It has an immediacy, yes. I like having an immediacy because it's something that I can authentically engage with, and not something that I'm thinking about doing. I'm really trying to find that quality of openness and engagement and activity within the moment. Yeah, because just as you've got the stability of the rocks, is a quality of mind. That vivacity, that engagement, is also an ever-present quality of mind. So we want to cultivate because we want our energies engaged. We want to, you know, we don't want to go passive. You know, if we sit and just welcome our experience all the time, that can get subtly passive. Yes, yeah? Subtly sort of dulled. Is this familiar with anyone? Yeah. In Tibetan, samatha is called shine. And there's a term for this, which is sheep shine. So it's like, you know, it's actually quite positive, it's quite pleasant, you know, but it's also just a little dull, it's sort of wool gathering, yeah? I don't know if this resonates with anyone.
Connects to something I was sort of thinking about.
Yeah.
For me, I realised that you mentioned leap of faith.
Yes.
And what can happen for me, that was an amazing combination for me, the image, the rock, the emergence, and the Tara together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and very personal as well. And it didn't, I had no thoughts of leap of faith. It was just like just a resonance that I had in.
Yeah, fine.
And then there wasn't anything else.
Yeah.
And then as you spoke, then I thought, okay, so I need to check the energy in that to make sure that doesn't become cotton wool. But it just feels...
Over time, I mean, you know, if there's the resonance and, you know, just enjoy those qualities. And you'll notice as you sit there, you'll attune more, you'll notice to where it starts to get, feels... less fluid and a bit more stuck, yeah?
Yeah.
And then that's when we start to need the leap of faith, is when we're sort of, you know, when we're rather over identifying with the ones at the back, or, you know, that maybe it's I don't want to stretch that metaphor too far, but you know, the sort of our clogginess. Then we need a leap of faith. When everything is flowing,
it's kind of like a leap of faith is in every return to focus.
Yeah, is a leap of faith in a way. So that in a way there is a cultivation, in the sense that there's a sort of a real presence and an attentiveness and a being with, which is different to passivity and wooliness. Does that? Quite, you know, when we're sort of talking the language of spaciousness and open and connect and allowing the connection and naturalness, it's quite good to get these fine distinctions, because you know it can quite easily get a bit. So if you find, actually, to hell with that, I'll do you a little exercise. Hockey. So this is just a little exercise. To help you with qualities that you can find in experience. So we tend to either be one or the other. We tend to either be sort of alive and present, but you know, it's a bit sort of tight and held and not very sort of we get tired. We can do that for a certain amount of time, but you can't sustain that. Or we sort of, and then we sort of feel like, all right, you know, I've worked very hard, and now I can just let go. Yeah. But then we don't trust that letting go either, because we know that it can make us feel a bit dull, and yeah. So we neither trust the sort of or the yeah. So what we need to do is find a way of being that we can sustain a sort of real present aliveness, and also a release, a real relaxation, a real letting go that doesn't sort of lead to dispersion. Yeah, a bit like, you know, you sat on the beach slightly too long and you're just hot and sweat. I'm hot and sweaty again, I'll tell you. And there's no, in a way, there's no power to the heart. There's no, you know, it's all been drained out. Yeah. Funny word to use, power, but it is a bit like that. There's no juice left.
It's not really a question. It was just what I was observing, feeling like. Badger-like energy rising. Trying to know how to work with that.
Yes.
It does feel really powerful.
Yes.
It feels
yes.
Really
yes.
And
yes.
Very overwhelming.
Yes. Yes.
A bit scary.
Yes.
Times. So it's
yes.
Like I was sitting and reflecting on that and thinking, okay, so Badger energy is really good, but how do I work with that? And I was thinking about our different, you know, Badger, the flame and the lotuses, and thinking that I need to try and find some way to integrate
yes.
all three of them,
yes.
so that they're all sort of working alongside
each yes.
other.
Yes, yes.
I think that's probably what you were
yes, exactly. Yes, that's the sort of thing. And it's like we can be afraid of that Vajra energy, because it's sort of, you know, we get, I don't know, taken out of ourselves. I don't know quite what it is, but it's just, yeah, it's we can't cope with it. It's, you know, we get ungrounded, we get and it wears itself out. There's actually there can be if it's unbalanced, there can be a lot of tension in there, but it's also, we want to be alive, we want to feel, you know, we really want to sort of, I mean, it's part of the connection again, isn't it? We, you know, being alive in our senses is amazing. So if we shut down to that energy, we shut off some of our ability. We're refusing, actually, you know, that life essence that is essential to our being. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe this...
I was thinking about what happens when you shake hands with someone.
Yeah.
So, if that's experience, if you are experience, yeah, and I just receive it,
yeah,
and I'm completely sort of passive in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing there. There's nothing for you to
shake my hand, and I'm too.
Yeah, yeah. Ow.
You know, there's something in the moment of connection, which
yes,
where you where
yeah,
you're both kind of extending
yes,
out
yeah,
and receiving
yeah,
in, and
yeah,
then
yeah.
And
yeah,
then you can kind of feel it,
yeah,
can't
you?
Yeah.
So there's yeah,
both those
yeah,
things.
There's
happening,
always that exchange, isn't
yeah,
there? Good. Mm. Good. So what we'll do, we'll just do this little exercise. Just because these particular, you know, that the strong energy, if the alive energy, you know, we love, we want. You know, that's part of it. There's a heart wish in there to be alive, yeah, and that release and freedom and spaciousness we want, yeah. So I don't want in this exercise we don't need to compromise on either of those, yeah. So as we're doing it, no holds barred, okay. We don't need to compromise on either of those. So, nothing will happen if we over-focus for a few minutes. We won't die. And we won't lose all our juice if we relax, if we just completely let, you know, we're just out on the beach, on the dinghy. So, you know, no holds barred on this one. Okay. So, this isn't really a meditation, this is just an exercise, but we can sit and in a comfortable maybe meditative position, and we're going to use, if you like, you can, yeah, you can use your hands as a sort of holding mudra, because each hand, so you can choose which one hand holds, it holds all that energy and aliveness and responsiveness and presence, all that sort of, all that feeling and being in the world, yeah, fully meeting, fully sensing, fully alive and present. And if you want, you can see that, feel that in the form of an elixir, a sort of a liquid. So does that liquid, does that nectar, does it have a colour for you? Does it have a texture? That full, alive presence in the senses, totally alert and vivid. A texture, a weight maybe, a colour. What's that like for you? Allow yourself to fully enter into the experience of that life, that presence, that awareness. That energy. Worrying if it becomes strained, just fully give yourself to it. And now, in the other hand, we hold the nectar of relaxation, total ease, total openness, receiving the sunlight with every cell of our body, no bones left, everything melts, does this nectar have a colour? Texture, a weight. And now back to the nectar of awareness, aliveness, awakeness, fully vital and present, singing in every cell. Close to every moment, present with every moment, alive. And then back to the relaxation hand, the hand of ease. Of opening, complete letting go, and back again to the awareness hand, aliveness, vividness, presence. And if you want, you can pour a little of the nectar from the aliveness hand into the nectar of relaxation. And a little of the nectar of relaxation into the aliveness hand. And then a little more, drop by drop, back and forth. Relaxation into aliveness, aliveness into relaxation. Until the two nectars are totally mixed together, held in our cupped hands. What's it like now, this nectar? Does it have a colour, a texture, a weight in our hands? And if you want, you can lift the cup to your lips and drink in the nectar right into each cell of our body until it's filled with the nectar of relaxed awareness, easy aliveness, present. And open every cell of our body. That gives you a way in to a sense of how we can have both there. We don't need to have either or. It's a familiar exercise to some of you. So, when we're practicing metta, it's easy to get caught up in sort of, well, we can use phrases, we can use, we can do all sorts of things to sort of cultivate that sense of well-wishing, yeah? But we can get a bit, we can get taken over by the phrases, by the concepts, and then we miss out on, the subtle heart movements that we're aiming to tune into. So we don't have to use words, we don't have to use phrases, we don't have to use images. In fact, use them if they really resonate with you. You know, if they chime, if they do create that feeling of responsiveness, then use those phrases, please, by all means. But what we're looking for is what is being cultivated in our hearts, in our mind streams. I mean, you know, with any practice, it can be a bit of a trial and error. You put that in. Oh no, that closes me down, rather than opens me up. And sometimes one can do something one day, and not another day. So just be quite sensitive, and don't keep going, you know, just because that's how you're supposed to do it. What we're looking for, you know, we've got a toolbox, a range of possibilities of things we can do. So we can use, you know, if we have a sort of a place we go to that really opens, gives us that sense of spaciousness and responsiveness, then we can use that. But maybe, you know, maybe we that morning we need a bit more energy, you know, and that's often sometimes why the sort of the Vajra energy comes out in a sort of wham, because subtly we are thinking of ourselves as someone who needs to relax and open up. So we do all this sort of relaxing and opening up, and then we're sort of forgetting that need for presence and aliveness, and it can sort of come back in, and that's a natural flow, you know. It's just you know, we're always going to be finding these things. But so what's really helpful is to develop that sense of sort of listening, of seeing what happens. You know, people often ask, you know, well, is it wrong to do this in meditation? Or is it, you know, and actually it's sort of the most weird and wonderful things work, and if they work, they work. So it's, you know, it's really, we need to develop what Bhante would call our inner guru, you know, our inner compass, you know. Okay, what's the weather today? You know, if I just sit here and be fantastically open and let go, well, that may work 99% of the time, but today it's not going to work. Yeah. So today I need to put put something a bit more in, much more, you know, a bit more obviously cultivating. You know, I need to sort of. Yeah, so it's like learning to dance with the conditions as they arise in our being, yeah? Learning that dance and saying, okay, you know, I'll try a bit more of this, I'll try a bit more of that. And yes, there are, over time, there are going to be tendencies in our being that, you know, like for me, I'm in a phase of being a bit more present, you know, looking more for the present qualities, the aliveness qualities in my practice, because I've done a lot of letting go, you know, and then, you know, there'll be other phases when there's more letting go again. So it's sort of learning to enjoy the dance, enjoy it, you know. It's our mind, it's our heart, it's our practice. And, you know, can we trust ourselves to really explore and enjoy that process? We'll break in a minute. I just want to make a point about the heart wish, because it sort of we've got that on the one hand, we've got the connection and bringing ourselves sensitively into connection, opening to the connection. On the other, we have the response. And I just wanted to underline this fact, because when we talk about heart wish, it's easy to get into this sense of this sort of big peace on earth, you know, change the world, sort of, you know, make everything better. And the heart wish is actually found in those tiny heart movements. Yeah, that's the sort of actually, the heart wish is found everywhere. So in that moment of fear or anguish, yeah, there's a heart wish to be free, to be unconstrained. Yeah, that fear, that is a fear that we're not going to be, you know, we're not going to be free to breathe. Yeah, we're going to be diminished somehow, or and you know, in our responses to the difficulties in the world, like, we're not going to, you know, that's not right. No, there's a big no in our being. We don't want that hatred. We don't want those, you know, that aggression in the world. No, and there's a heart wish in there for that for that freedom and joy. So there's a heart wish in any moment, yeah, and in any response, I'd just like to encourage you to notice where we're already responding, and don't necessarily write that off as a bad, you know, I've experienced fear, yeah, oh, that's something I need to get over, yeah. It's, well, yeah, there may be elements of that that's restrictive, but just to love and recognize that in that moment of fear is a real sensitivity to well, a wish to be well and happy and free and, you know, have room to breathe. Yeah. So yes, our sensitivity, our responsiveness is always there. Yeah. Does that make sense? So it's noticing not stopping there, not sort of being caught in the metaphor that it's giving you of closing of fear, but recognizing the heart movement of a wish for freedom. Yeah. Same with hatred, you know, or anger, you know, there's a clarity, there's a wish for clarity in there, there's a movement of clarity, yeah. So I'm not condoning the anger and the hatred, but I'm just saying, you know, just recognize that movement in there. With love, you know, this sort of wish for a wish to be loved, a feeling of lack, yeah, which can have in it a wish to be loved, but it's also just that wish to connect, you know. So we can keep going deeper and deeper and into those responses and see how sort of free we can make that energy, how alive we can make it, that heart wish. But in the very responses, you know, we're not talking about importing a response from China here. You know, this is very, very homegrown stuff. Yeah. They might resonate with the responses from China, but they're homegrown, as it were. Hope no one's going to accuse me of being racist. Yeah. Yeah.
So what's the difference between a wish for connection and a wish for freedom?
Yes. Yes.
Longing.
Yes.
And craving.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you see what I mean?
I see exactly what you mean. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so a longing that sort of closes us down, a craving, a sort of that we can't have, something we can't have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So the difference is the investment in the outcome. Yeah. So that when we crave for something, because we can crave for enlightenment, we can crave for freedom in a way that's going to block us having that, because there's no freedom in it. Yeah, but we can still, the heart wish, still there's still that responsiveness, but it's not invested in the outcome. So that so to give you an example, I could crave, I could long for freedom. Oh, I'm not very good at giving examples. I'm trying to think, and do help if you can think of something. But I could long.
It reminds me of MVC. Are you familiar with? Yeah. So if you get to the needs. So you can have an experience, feeling, say, of wanting to be loved, and then you can get to the need under that, which is a need for connection. But we really kind of release when we disinvest from how we get that connection.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's not that I want you to love me now. It's a more. Sorry. I have a need for connection.
Yeah.
And at that point, it opens.
So then the art in that is to listen for where we're wanting something out of it. Yeah? Where we... Do you see the difference?
But is it still... Okay.
Yeah, yeah, go on. This is important. This is an important distinction.
So, this is where I do get stuck.
Mm.
So... But it's not to be passive either, so this is not wish. It's not to be passive.
It's a live response. Yes,
like,
yes.
You know, the passivity of it is suffering.
Yeah.
But reaching out for it is also suffering.
So reaching out, so we can, this is what we do. This is what makes us human, and this is what makes us suffer. Yeah? So what we're talking here, this is a practice. Yeah? Because there will be craving in that heart wish, in that longing for we will go between that sort of release and if we're not doing that, then we're completely free. So but you can start to tune in to without somehow the art is to have that longing to let that longing flow, and then to disinvest from the outcome. Yeah? Does that make sense?
It certainly makes sense in my GFR.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I think
feels very different in the body. So cravings always has that tightening.
Mm.
And the longing is more different, clearer in the body.
Mm.
And also the craving is gets very specific, and then there's that narrowing.
Mm.
It's got to be that, and it's over there.
Mm.
So then there's a separating, there's the illusion of separation in there, when you've got craving. And it's tightly got to be that. Whereas with the heart wish, it's like, it's bigger. It's a quality that's wanted.
Mm.
So just like with the MSE, it could, get too fixed on strategies rather than the underlying, experience that you're looking for, which isn't to be found in any particular place. So the craving is always looking for fulfillment in the wrong place where it can't be found.
So
the longing is always in the relation. It's longing for what's essentially a relationship to experience.
And that's a key. This is a key aspect of metta. That metta doesn't want anything back. Yeah, metta. It's metta. It's not. We don't. It's not reciprocal. We're not doing it because we want something back. Yeah. But it's really looking in your experience as that energy rises, as that. And we're going to get it wrong. So it's like. Some of the time we'll be releasing energy and going for it and engaging and be over invested, but we're moving, we're flowing, and sometimes we'll sit back, open, and we'll have that feeling of release, but we're not as alive and engaged. So it's really just again. Learning to play with that and not be afraid of any of those things, because that's a closing again. Sensing in your body, in your heart, in your mind, in your thoughts, you can tell, where that's all clogging up. And just... Does that give you a way in, Mumtaz?
I'm following what you're saying. I think resonate
with what. Yeah.
I'm in the midst of all this, and whilst you're really sort of, it doesn't feel joyful at the moment, it just feels like suffering. Yeah.
Your experience feels like suffering. So, you don't want to tell that suffering experience that it's got to be joyful. I think that would be a shame, wouldn't it? And if you were with a good friend and they were suffering, how would you be with them? You don't have to answer that, you can just... Yeah. So you would tune into them and see how they were and sort of sit alongside them in a certain sort of way, wouldn't you? And give them all the time. In a sense, that feeling of time and spaciousness. And trust that in that moment of attentiveness, there is an aliveness there. You know, that's where, at that moment, the aliveness is embodied in that moment of attentiveness. Does that give you a way in a bit?
Yeah. Is it okay just to add something for me? But I don't know. I think for me there's a resistance in all this, that, and there's probably an element in me that's not quite sure if I'm, if there's, I mean, I've had, I have a terrible time of resistance, and how much is, how much in me is resistance going on, along with the craving and the longing. Sorry, I can't really explain.
No, that's...
I'm not expecting a...
No, that's fine.
Answer, but, you know, I think I'm at some areas at stage with some of the stuff with me that, I mean, what I know that it feels this is happening, this stuff is going, particularly on the retreat, you know, but, I mean, maybe I don't need to worry about much of this is resistance, but for me there is something in what's going on, whether that is still craving, maybe the resistance is the craving, I'm not sure.
Can you give the resistance all the time and space and it, and being with it that it needs? Can you allow that to be in your experience?
I probably can a bit better than I used to, but because some of, well, I kind of mentioned it to Maitri Devi that some of what I'm dealing with is, sorry, say what you just said again, the space, you said space, I think it comes into something that we said at the beginning about entrusting.
Yes.
I mean, there are many layers.
Yes.
I do trust myself.
Yes.
But, and I can see more space. You know, I might go into my room and this whole dialogue's going on that's been going on for a very long time, very, very long time, and I'm able to sort of give it bits of space and let it, it's, maybe a bit more accepting, you know, because it is very torturous, and it's not the same as my times, but there's real torturous feelings and thoughts going on. I can't get to the point.
Those little drops, those little moments of, you know, we sort of think like, oh yeah, we should be open all the time, you know. Those little moments of coming slightly... Listen, I've been practicing for, I don't know, 35, 40 years, God knows. And I rejoice, I love those little moments of coming a bit closer. It's like, because I can feel, yes,
yeah.
I've got it. You know, that's, you know, there are knots in my physical being, there are knots in my emotional being that have been there.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like... all my lifetimes, yeah? And, oh, suddenly I find one and I can just, oh, after several months sometimes of trying in a vertical, so, you know, doing all the sort of, you know, sensitive work, I suddenly find a way that it likes to be with. yay, for a minute, you know, and then I slide off it again. Yeah? But that, fantastic, because in that moment, that's all we need to do. And I'm teaching myself every time, you know, that I can be with that. Okay, and I can be with that. So it's really, that's, you know, those tiny moments is beautiful.
Can I just quickly try? I mean, I can relate to that. I mean, I know I'm not viewing or whatever, but I do. I mean, I've changed. You know, my life has changed so much, but I don't know if everybody knows it. Because I've got post-traumatic stress disorder, although I've come really far, I haven't got the level of trauma that I had when it started, but, and I think I've heard other older members say that, you know, even if you haven't got major trauma, the mind can be, you know, it can be a very uncontained, you know, that my mind
yeah,
can
yeah,
be quite uncontained.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and I've allowed for that, and I've been quite compassionate, and my partner's been very, you know, overcoming that. But then, because there's been so much bombardment, and you know, in my mind that, you know, and I've still got some disturbance, although it's much less, that I'm not always quite, I can't always tell, you know, if what I'm going through is just something that's really disturbing.
Sure.
That, I mean, I think that I'm always, there's always, there's movement. So, I mean, I think maybe the way that we,
well, it's okay to, you know, it's okay for this to take a very long time. But you can also entrust yourself to things like the earth, you know, the feel of the ground under our feet, the air rising and falling in our belly. That's really, you know, it's so, to learn to entrust ourselves to those things, yeah, will really teach the mind about entrusting, about opening. I'm sure you can take it further in your reviews, but yeah. Okay. Talking of which, I think so. Now we'll have a break and then we'll do a walking meditation. Yeah. So just to remind you, just to practice in trusting, if you like. Just to remind you, where's my little scob sheet from yesterday? About the stages that we can use in the walking. So if we're doing the mindfulness walking, they're all metaphor actually, it's all meta, but yes, if we're doing the mindfulness walking, starting with the sensations in the feet and gradually taking in more of what's happening in the rest of the body as we walk. And then we can stay with that if we want, or we can have a sense of ourselves being in space, walking in space, almost a kinesthetic sense of ourselves in space, our relation to space. And we can add in, you know, an awareness of the smells and the sounds as we walk, sensing ourselves walking through space and coming back to the feet if we get lost, and allowing the rhythm of the walking to calm the body and mind. So really seeing if we can entrust ourselves to that whole experience, really letting our body, they know how to walk, our bodies, we often get in the way. Maybe that's enough for the moment. So we'll have a, yes, I think. So we'll go into a 15-minute tea break and then we can walk up until lunch, I suppose.